Welcome to today's Innovative Ideas podcast. My name is Paul Howard, and I'm a director and senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress. Our guest today is U.S. Representative Peter Roskam. Representative Roskam serves the 6th District of Illinois in the U.S. House of Representatives. He is also the Chief Deputy Majority Whip, the 4th-ranking Republican leader in the House. He also serves on the Committee on Ways and Means, which is the Chief Tax Writing Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives. Our topic today will be the importance of the U.S. tax code for U.S. innovation, competitiveness, and job creation, particularly in the healthcare sector. Representative Roskam, thanks very much for joining us today.
Hey, I'm delighted, Paul. Thanks for having me on today.
Representative, can we talk just for a couple of minutes about the U.S. tax code from kind of a broad perspective?
Yeah, sure.
How do we stack up against our international competitors, you know, the other top countries in the world, in terms of our corporate tax rates?
Well, it's a classic example of the United States having its act together decades ago and basically sitting on a lead, and now we find that we're losing in this global competition of a competitive tax environment. So right now, the United States is second only to Japan in terms of being the highest corporate tax rate in the world. Now, that's not the way it used to be. The rest of the world essentially woke up to the secret of U.S. competitiveness and our success. And now Japan is poised to actually lower their corporate tax rate. So the bottom line is, once Japan moves, the United States will have the highest corporate tax rate in the world.
So this is the case of us just sitting on our laurels for decades.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's an old story. I mean, it's a story that is consistent in all kinds of arenas that you see, but the team, the competitor, whoever it is that sits on a lead, loses ultimately. And it's not where we have to be. We can actually take this up and move forward in a very dynamic way, but it's going to take some doing and some choices that the United States needs to make.
And obviously, this affects all U.S. Sectors, all U.S. business sectors, but particularly in the healthcare sector. The U.S., one of our largest exporting sectors is the healthcare sector. One estimate that I've seen suggests that as much as 51% of U.S. firms' profits are generated overseas. And because of the U.S.'s territorial tax system, which I guess means that if they earn profits overseas, they have to pay taxes over there. But then if they repatriate that money, they pay taxes again over here. That's a real disincentive for companies to bring that money home, reinvest it in U.S. factories and jobs, without taking a big hit to their bottom line, even if before tax it would make sense to build those factories and do that R&D here. How does the territorial system affect these investment decisions, in your opinion, and discourage companies from reinvesting those profits here? And what can we do about it?
Yeah, I've heard directly from U.S. business leaders that have, I mean, to your point, they've said, look, we like the intellectual property safety in the United States. We like the standards in the United States. We like the work ethic in the United States. There's a lot of things that the United States has going for it. But what we don't like is the increased tax burden when we're doing something abroad, then to repatriate that money is the term of art. We have to pay a penalty, essentially, to do it. So as a result, we're going to deploy our capital abroad. So where the way to move forward is to abandon the worldwide tax structure that the United States has and instead adopt a territorial system. And a territorial system is essentially what the rest of the world has put in place. If the United States were to adopt a territorial system, we would move and by definition be more competitive within the twinkling of an eye. And that's something that the majority on the Ways and Means Committee has proposed recently, to move towards a territorial system. And I think that's an area where there should be quite a bit of common ground, and we should be able to move forward on that.
Oh, that's great news. One other issue I think that gets to the topic of resting on our laurels is the U.S. R&D tax credit. I think the U.S. pioneered the R&D tax credit, I think it was in 1981. But I understand that we now rank 17th out of 21 OECD countries in the effective rate of the U.S. tax credit. So drug development is this incredibly risky, it's time-consuming, and the credit can help companies offset the enormous financial risks associated with drug development. Is there any conversation in Congress today about making the R&D tax credit more competitive and permanent?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the action is. So just this year, yet again, Congress has sort of lurched into letting the R&D tax credit lapse, which doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't create any sense of predictability that businesses can use. It's used now as like, well, that's something nice that's happened, but it's not driving innovation and it's not driving U.S. production on the innovation side. So the remedy, to your point, is make it permanent. Make it something that companies can say, yep, we know this is going to be happening. We can bank on it. We know it's going to be there, and it's not a one-year or, you know, every one-year sort of adventure. And, again, this was something that the United States came up with decades ago, and the rest of the world, again, has figured it out. And so now it's not as dynamic and as alluring as it once was, and certainly it doesn't do us any good to have it just, or it. We really marginalize the benefit, I guess that's the best way to put it, by letting it lapse and then putting it back in place and so forth. There's just no way to ultimately run anything.
So, I mean, I think under that theme, you've got, you know, to think about competitiveness, you've got the idea that you've got to stay at least with your competitors, at least as competitive, if not get more competitive, and the U.S. could be losing its, you know, stature as the leader of economic innovation, economic growth in the world if we don't update our policies to meet the challenges of the 21st century. I think the Republican and Democratic leaders in Congress and the Obama administration have all talked about the need for corporate tax reform, even tax reform more generally. I understand that getting a grand bargain is not going to happen in an election year, but what are the odds that we could get a pro-growth, pro-jobs, pro-innovation tax reform in the not-too-distant future?
I'm hopeful that that's possible, and here's why I'm hopeful. The first thing is nobody can defend the status quo on the tax code. There's no figure that's on the landscape today that says the United States tax code is fabulous. So what that means is everybody is looking at a way of changing it. So that's a good thing. The second thing is we have a chairman of the Ways and Means Committee in the House, Congressman Dave Camp, who has laid out over the past year a very aggressive agenda of hearings and other committee activities around this whole notion of competitiveness. And there's been some people that have said, well, you know, isn't that kind of a pipe dream? Aren't you hoping for something that is going to be impossible? And I commend the chairman who has said, look, you certainly don't get the product if you don't do the work, so let's do the work as a committee and let's lay the groundwork for this larger competitiveness agenda. That's a good thing. The other thing to remember is the 1986 Act, which is the last time there was a big, big tax change, that was signed by President Reagan a couple of weeks before the midterm election. So it's not impossible for this to happen, even in a highly charged political environment.
Well, that would be a tremendous achievement, one way or the other. But you're right that the 1986 code was a tremendous achievement passed by a Democratic Congress at the time, I believe, and then signed by the president. Bipartisan, smart policy can get done when everybody is serious about doing it.
That's right. And I think the good news is that there's, I think, a pathway forward where liberals and conservatives can come together and find some common ground around the tax code. So guys like me who are conservative can come in and say, look, I want to lower rates, broaden the base, and create a more competitive environment. Great, we can do that. A liberal can come into that same conversation and can say, if they're honest about it, can say, look, I want to increase government revenues and to fuel these programs that I think are very, very important. And if they look at it fairly and objectively, they'll know that lowering these rates creates more revenue. So it should be a win-win scenario, and I think ultimately the public has to help the political leaders sort this out and to say, let's move forward and let's create the most competitive, dynamic tax code in the world, and let's make the United States the place where people want to do business.
I think that's absolutely right. You look around countries in the EU, of course, places like India and China and Singapore are all moving to try and leapfrog the United States or at least improve their competitiveness compared to the United States. We've got to be thinking the same way. I think you're doing terrific work there, and this is an incredibly interesting discussion, and I hope you keep us abreast of efforts to get tax reform done in Congress.
I will. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us.